Chapter 3, People's Liberation Army Joint Capabilities. This chapter describes People's Liberation Army, PLA, joint capabilities, how they support the tactical commander, and how these forces are integrated into tactical operations. The modern PLA is a sophisticated joint force, likely capable of conducting integrated operations across all domains. PLA joint operations are still in their relative infancy. The PLA has yet to employ a truly integrated joint force in combat, and many key joint integration enablers are still in the developmental stage. Nonetheless, PLA joint operations are likely to improve dramatically as integration technology advances. The People's Liberation Army Air Force. The People's Liberation Army Air Force, PLAF, is one of the world's largest air forces. Much like the rest of the PLA, the PLAF is in the midst of a significant reorganization and modernization campaign, moving from employing massive numbers of 1960s-era aircraft with very limited capabilities to employing much smaller numbers of modern 4th through 5th generation multi-role and fighter aircraft. The PLAF enjoys a suite of capabilities largely comparable to modern Western air forces, including airborne early warning, aerial refueling, heavy and medium transport, and electronic warfare, EW, though relatively few airframes are available for these non-combat missions as compared to the United States Air Force, USAF. The PLAF also operates a large and advanced ground-based air defense network employing medium and long-range radar-guided missiles in an integrated, tiered, and layered deployment strategy. For most of the PLAF's history, its role has been defending Chinese airspace, with secondary importance given to strike and attack missions, and little emphasis on close air support, CAS. This made sense for the period, considering the perceived threats to Chinese territory and the lack of available air-ground communications. As the PLAF has modernized, greater emphasis has been placed on ground support, but these capabilities are developing and are likely limited in both availability and effectiveness. Although many PLAF airframes are nominally multi-role, meaning they are capable of conducting both air-to-air and air-to-ground missions, few air-to-ground capable airframes are regularly employed in this mission type. Most PLAF combat aircraft date from the Cold War era. This status is changing rapidly, however, as newer and far more capable types are being both purchased and indigenously produced. This creates a wide spectrum of capabilities within the PLAF. Older aircraft are not capable of all-weather, around-the-clock operations, especially in ground attack roles, and they employ mostly non-precision munitions with minimal targeting support. Newer aircraft employ precision-guided munitions, some with standoff capability, with targeting enabled by sophisticated onboard sensor suites. In general, more capable aircraft are assigned to theaters with higher priority assets, while older aircraft are assigned to less important theaters. Nearly all PLAF aircraft are either Russian-built, Russian-designed, or evolved from Russian designs. However, unique indigenous designs are starting to reach operational status. PLAF combat aircraft capabilities are largely similar to those of their Russian equivalents, though the capabilities of the newest 5th-generation low-observable aircraft are not well known in the West. PLAF maintenance and logistics capabilities are immature and under-resourced, but they are likely to improve rapidly in the near future. As part of the PLAF's modernization efforts, maintenance and logistics were relegated to a secondary role behind acquisitions. This, in turn, had negative impacts on pilot training and aircraft readiness. In addition, the PLAF had to modernize the relationship between its maintenance and logistics backbone and China's state-run industry. Historically, repair and maintenance was largely outsourced to industry, but this relationship has become increasingly unwieldy in the modern age. The PLA's new expeditionary requirements place further strain on limited maintenance and logistics resources. Solutions to these capability gaps are currently in the conceptual and testing phase, but have yet to be widely implemented. PLAF units are organized into brigades, comparable to United States Air Force groups. Brigades are assigned to PLAF bases, which are the grade equivalent of the U.S. Army's Corps, and are generally at the disposal of the theater commander. Some high-value PLAF assets, however, are controlled by national-level headquarters, including some of the newest fighter divisions and the Airborne Corps. PLAF doctrine employs a tiered and layered approach to defending Chinese airspace. Ground-based air defenses, in the form of medium and long-range radar-guided missiles, combine with manned aircraft to deny use of airspace to enemy platforms of all types. The PLAF, in general, is far less concerned with seizing or maintaining air superiority or air dominance than U.S. forces. It views simply denying the enemy use of airspace to be adequate. PLAF forces do not have significant capabilities outside of Chinese airspace, excepting a few island air bases off the Chinese coast. Neither basing nor aerial refueling capabilities are adequate to project power any significant distance past the Chinese coastline and territorial waters. Expanding power projection across wider areas is a focus of PLAF training and acquisition. It is likely that the PLAF can successfully deny use of airspace to any opponent wishing to operate over Chinese territory or ocean areas covered by its surface-to-air missile umbrella. PLAF ground attack capabilities are immature, but improving. Around 2 decades ago, PLAF attack aircraft were limited to daytime visual attacks using only unguided munitions. Today, the PLAF operates hundreds of advanced fourth-generation attack aircraft capable of all-weather operations using precision munitions. The primary ground attack missions of the PLAF are strike and interdiction. Both of these missions attack targets some distance away from friendly troops, and both generally support the strategic and operational levels of war. PLAF-CAS capabilities are limited due to a lack of training and integration, but they are seen as critical to developing the Combined Arms Brigade as a true combined arms force. Efforts are currently underway to advance CAS capabilities. Gaps in CAS operations include a lack of trained forward air controllers, a lack of air-ground communications, and a lack of developed tactics and guidelines for CAS employment. The PLA's Airborne Corps is assigned to the PLAF, and it is the PLA's Strategic Airborne Unit. It comprises most of the PLA's Rapid Reaction Unit, a cohort of light, strategically mobile ground forces that can provide a significant military presence anywhere in China in a very short period of time. Though called a corps, the Airborne Corps mimics the Group Army in composition, though with fewer support assets. It consists of 6 maneuver brigades, 4 airborne infantry, 1 mechanized airborne infantry, 1 air assault, and 1 special operations forces, plus transport and support units. An airborne corps includes 4 airborne infantry brigades, 3 airborne infantry battalions, and 1 towed light howitzer battalion per brigade, 1 airborne infantry mechanized brigade, 3 mechanized infantry battalions, and 1 self-propelled howitzer battalion per brigade, 1 air assault brigade, 3 air assault battalions, and 1 towed light howitzer battalion per brigade, 1 service support brigade, 1 special operations forces brigade, 1 air transport brigade, fixed and rotary wing transport capability. 1 headquarters unit. The PLAF has the air transport capacity to deploy either 2 light brigades simultaneously or half of the mechanized brigade. These units are employed in much the same way as the U.S. Army employs the 82nd Airborne Division. At least 1 brigade-sized unit on very short-term deployment orders, with other units to follow if required. The People's Liberation Army Navy. China traditionally relegated its naval forces to a subordinate role behind its ground and strategic rocket forces. Much like the rest of the PLA, however, the People's Liberation Army Navy plan adapted and evolved along with the country throughout the 1990s and early 2000s. This evolution took the plan from being a littoral and riverine force to being a viable ocean-going force by 2009. The near-term goal for the plan is to evolve into a true blue water force by 2035. In practical terms, this means operating aircraft carriers, large surface combatants, a submarine force, a naval air wing, an amphibious assault force, and a logistics force across the Western Pacific and possibly into the Indian Ocean. The initial geographic limitation for this capability is out to the second island chain in the Western Pacific, which includes the Yellow Sea, the South and East China Seas, the Philippine Sea, and possibly the Sea of Japan. The plan has also expressed intent to develop a limited global capability, though this requires significant development of overseas basing support, long-range air and sea lift, and a global command and communication network that does not currently exist. The plan is the world's second-largest navy by tonnage and the 3rd-largest by number of major surface combatants. It also employs the world's 2nd-largest submarine force, though the quality and modernity of its submarines varies significantly. The plan consists of 5 branches: the Surface Force, the Submarine Force, the Naval Air Force, the Coastal Defense Force, and the Marine Corps. These forces are deployed in 3 command navies, each with a specific geographic area of interest. The North Command Navy is responsible for the Yellow Sea, the East Command Navy is responsible for the East China Sea, and the South Command Navy is responsible for the South China Sea. The Surface Force comprises the plan's surface combatant capability. This includes two aircraft carriers, around 20 modern, highly capable guided missile destroyers, numerous lighter frigates and corvettes, missile boats, amphibious assault ships, and logistics vessels. The plan's aircraft carrier capability is still in its infancy, currently consisting of a single operational second-hand Soviet aircraft carrier, but an indigenously built one is scheduled to enter service in 2023. The plan intends to procure at least one more full-sized aircraft carrier, making its carrier fleet the second largest and most capable in the world, behind only the United States. This timeline is aggressive, however, and is largely dependent on rapidly developing carrier air wing tactics and techniques. The Chinese aircraft carriers operate navalized versions of 4 1/2 generation Russian-derived multi-role combat aircraft. Surface combatants are modern and capable, employing radar-guided missile-based integrated air defenses and a robust suite of anti-ship missiles of varying ranges. China has emphasized the importance of the anti-ship missile in its naval strategy for many decades, and much of its evolving navy is built around this capability. The submarine force is the world's second-largest submarine fleet, although many boats are somewhat aged. Throughout the history of the plan, this force has been the most capable and most important sea control capability. Although in recent years the submarine force has not been as well funded as the surface force, it remains a key component of planned shore defense and anti-access strategies. Most planned submarines are conventionally powered, diesel-electric attack submarines that are employed against enemy shipping, emphasizing attacks on enemy surface combatants and troop ships. A small number of far more expensive but far more capable nuclear attack submarines complements the conventionally powered force. The plan's ballistic missile submarine capability is limited and unproven, though it appears development of a viable ballistic missile submarine fleet is proceeding. The primary mission of the plan is defense of Chinese territorial waters and power projection into Chinese regional waters. This mission includes both operations against regional opponents in limited wars and operations against powerful opponents as a part of a theater-wide anti-access campaign. As such, enemy shipping is the primary target set of planned surface combatants, naval aircraft, and submarines. While a limited ground attack capability exists in the Naval Air Force, it can be considered a secondary mission and far less important to PLA joint operations than U.S. Navy ground support missions are to U.S. joint operations. Chinese surface ships maintain a robust anti-aircraft capability, and they are likely employed in concert with ground-based air defenses to deny use of wide geographic areas of airspace to enemy aircraft. The plan also maintains a robust coastal defense force that employs shore-based anti-ship missiles and infantry to defend Chinese littoral waters and coastlines from amphibious assault or littoral naval operations. The People's Liberation Army Navy Marine Corps, Plan MC, is the PLA's expeditionary amphibious warfare capability. Like the U.S. Marine Corps, it falls under administrative control of the Navy, but it is equipped and organized in a manner similar to that of the Army. Unlike the U.S. Marine Corps, however, the Plan MC does not have the PLA's heavy amphibious warfare mission. This belongs to the People's Liberation Army Army, PLAA. Instead, the Plan MC should be viewed as a light and strategically mobile force built to conduct expeditionary warfare missions away from Chinese shores. The Plan MC consists of 6 maneuver brigades and associated command and support structure, totaling approximately 60,000 to 80,000 personnel. The Plan MC consists of a mix of mechanized and light forces organized specifically to support amphibious and littoral operations. Plan MC brigades are either assigned to the South Command Navy and focus their operations and training on the South China Sea, or they are held as national-level assets. A Plan MC brigade includes 3 combined arms battalions, 1 self-propelled gun artillery battalion, 1 missile battalion with man-portable air defense systems, MANPADs, and anti-tank guided missiles, 1 headquarters unit, 1 combat support battalion, 1 service support battalion. In addition to the plan, China operates both the China Coast Guard, CCG, which falls under the control of the People's Armed Police, PAP, and the Maritime Militia, under the China Militia. The CCG operates a large number of smaller surface vessels and has responsibility for coastal security, patrol, anti-piracy, anti-smuggling, search and rescue, and maritime police operations. The Maritime Militia operates an exceedingly large number of small surface vessels, most of which are converted or co-opted civilian fishing or transport ships. While both the CCG and Maritime Militia have very traditional assigned roles, China aggressively employs both as part of a hybrid warfare approach during the competition phase of conflict. CCG and maritime militia vessels regularly and aggressively operate in international waters, and sometimes in the territorial waters of China's neighbors, ostensibly to protect Chinese fishing and shipping operations. This approach enables China to influence activity throughout the Western Pacific without involving the large surface combatants of the plan. In a time of war, the CCG and maritime militia will likely take on roles similar to the PAP and China militia in ground operations, performing low-intensity or mundane maritime tasks in order to free up more capable ships for more demanding operations. The People's Liberation Army Rocket Force. The People's Liberation Army Rocket Force, PLARF, is the branch responsible for operating China's strategic missile and rocket forces and a substantial portion of the country's long-range tactical missiles. It is the largest missile force in the world, operating well over 1,000 short-range, medium-range, and intercontinental ballistic missiles, ICBMs, and over 300 long-range cruise missiles. There is not a U.S. equivalent to the PLARF. U.S. ICBMs are operated by the United States Air Force. A very limited quantity of short-range ballistic missiles, SRBMs, are operated by the U.S. Army, and both the U.S. Navy and United States Air Force operate cruise missiles. The PLARF is descended from the 2nd Artillery Corps, China's original nuclear missile unit. It is a discrete military branch, similar to PLAF or PLAN. The PLARF operates using the same base brigade battalion structure as the PLAF. PLARF bases are corps grade, and each base operates multiple PLARF brigades. It is unclear exactly how the PLARF command interacts with theater commands, TCs, but it is known that each TC houses a PLARF contingent designed to integrate ballistic missile fires into its operations. PLARF missiles are considered strategic assets, and authority for their use is likely retained at the national level. It is also likely that high-value strategic missile assets, such as ICBMs and long-range ballistic missiles, are to be employed only by national authorities, while SRBM brigades may be attached to TCs in support of their operations. The PLARF operates most of China's nuclear arsenal through a fleet of 60 to 70 ICBMs. China professes a no-first-use nuclear policy and maintains the nuclear missile fleet in a deterrent capacity, though there is an ongoing internal dialogue in China about possible situations where first use may be necessary. The country at present does not possess an immediate second-strike nuclear capability, and it has relatively few nuclear warheads. Its nuclear strategy can be described as a minimal deterrence approach, possessing only the nuclear capability necessary to deter a nuclear attack. Future modernization, accompanied by an expansion of the nuclear force, however, is a clear possibility. In contrast to its relatively small nuclear force, the PLARF's conventional ballistic missile force is the world's largest, and among the world's most technologically advanced and most capable. The PLA employs ballistic missiles as its primary precision deep strike capability. Ballistic missiles target high-value assets, including air and seaports, supply depots, and command and communication nodes. Ballistic missiles represent a significant element of the Chinese anti-access strategy. More advanced ballistic missiles are designed specifically to engage hardened or mobile high-value assets, such as aircraft carriers and anti-ballistic missile systems. Chinese ballistic missile capabilities represent one of the PLA's strongest investments in system warfare, as ballistic missiles asymmetrically destroy or neutralize assets that traditionally required force-on-force methods to effectively attack. China is not a signatory to the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty, and thus it is free to develop short and medium-range missiles of all types. Due to the country's strict no-first-use nuclear policy and its substantial investment in ballistic missile capabilities, it is unlikely that China will ever voluntarily downgrade its conventional missile strike capability. While many PLARF ballistic missiles are strategic assets, hundreds of SRBMs may be used to target high-value tactical assets or in support of tactical-level missions. PLARF ballistic missile launchers are mobile, and their facilities hardened, making it difficult to target or neutralize these systems prior to launch. The PLARF also operates much of China's land-based cruise missile fleet. Unlike the United States, PLA cruise missiles are seen as complementary to the ballistic missile force, rather than the other way around. PLARF missile tactics are advanced and mature, taking full advantage of the suite of capabilities available. PLARF units will work along with other national assets, such as cyber warfare, EW, and air and naval forces, to neutralize or destroy anti-ballistic missile and air defense systems using a system warfare combined arms approach. PLARF ballistic missiles are accurate and precise, integrated with advanced surveillance and targeting capabilities, equipped with advanced penetration aids and countermeasures, and can be employed in sophisticated structured attacks. The PLA will seek to deplete expensive and rare anti-ballistic interceptors, defeat or destroy air defense radars, and either sink, damage, or threaten anti-air surface naval vessels, giving it freedom of maneuver when employing its missile force. The People's Liberation Army Strategic Support Force. In 2016, the PLA established the People's Liberation Army Strategic Support Force, PLASSF. The PLASSF is a unified command with responsibility for national-level space, cyber, and EW missions, along with national-level intelligence support to military operations and information operations. There is not a U.S. equivalent to the PLASSF. It mixes capabilities taken from numerous military and non-military government agencies under a single command, much of which is controlled directly by the Central Military Commission, CMC. The PLASSF represents the evolution of several basic Chinese warfighting principles into a unified command structure. It combines numerous capabilities along the competition continuum and seeks to employ them in a more structured and coherent way than the largely piecemeal approach previously used by the PLA. The PLASSF emphasizes system warfare as its underlying operational principle, seeking to find asymmetric approaches to neutralizing or otherwise offsetting highly capable enemy systems. The PLASSF was likely developed to help reduce the PLA's acknowledged shortcomings in joint operations, particularly joint intelligence collection and distribution. It echoes the general PLA trend to centralize capabilities that are deemed insufficient or immature, with the intent of managing them more effectively at a national level. The PLASSF also supports the PLA's initiative toward military-civil fusion. The intent is to enhance cooperation between the PLA, non-military organizations, and industry. This initiative is most clear when it comes to space capabilities. The PLASSF will likely work very closely with the China National Space Administration and the country's space industry partners to develop dual-use space capabilities. The advantage to this approach is that it allows military space development while being minimally provocative internationally, as all initiatives have a legitimate civilian purpose. The other major change driving the PLASSF is the integration of national intelligence. China's intelligence apparatus is enormous, complex, and almost completely opaque to outsiders. It consists of numerous and occasionally competing intelligence organizations that focus on both domestic and international intelligence gathering. The PLASSF integrates electronic intelligence, ELINT, signals intelligence, SIGINT, long-range surveillance, and information operations capabilities under a single command. China believes this greater centralization will result in better use of national intelligence assets while expediting critical intelligence information, such as targeting data, to commanders and weapons systems that need it. The PLASSF likely used the PLARF as the blueprint for its organization. National-level assets are retained at the top level of command, while lower-level assets are allocated to TCs as missions require. PLASSF intelligence operations are split into strategic intelligence and tactical intelligence. Strategic intelligence consists of collection efforts focused on long-term issues of national importance. Tactical intelligence is composed of collection efforts that directly support PLA operations, such as ground intelligence, air and space-based surveillance, deep ELINT, and tactical-level information operations.